up your Bibles and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And we're looking at chapter 9, the 9th chapter of this book. And we're reading at verse 10. 9 and verse 10 of Ecclesiastes. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Look with me at verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. This is a most interesting text of Scripture, for it calls the people of God's book to be not merely hearers of the Word of God, but doers. And it calls them to put all their strength and all their wisdom and all their understanding and all their ability to do what God works wants them to do. If we have found work to do, we have to do it with our might. Whatsoever the hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. God is a God who calls each one of us to activity in His service. Mr. Nicholson used to say, it's not loafers that should be in the church. It is laborers. So we're called to labor. We're called to work. And what comes to our hand, we are to do that work not sleepishly, without feeling, but we're to do it with all our might. I was thinking this week of that work doing, and I thought that I should take the word and spell it out. So the first letter of the word doing is the letter D. And D stands for decision. If you're going to do something, you've got to make a decision. If the decision is clean cut, if it's made willingly and with fear to God and belief in His promise, then you will really do something. So first of all, we start with a decision. What a resolution did you make today about how you were going to live this day? What witness have you made today to those without God and without Christ and without hope? What prayers have you offered today as you did your daily round and common task? We need to, if we're going to do, we need to make a proper determination and a proper decision. And we've got to make a proper choice. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So let us make a decision this night in God's house before His face that we are going to do, because we are deciding that it's the way of decision is a way for me. Oh, that the people of God would make that clean-cut decision to be finished with the worldly things, with the flesh and the toys of the devil, and to be completely and totally dedicated to Christ with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. The second letter of the word doing is a letter O. And you can't do something except you have order in your planning arrangements. Alas, today, disorderly lives have taken the power and the liberty and the joy from the people of God. It's a disorderly world we live in. And that disorderliness eats in under our skins, even as people of God. The apostle tells us we're not to walk disorderly. The Bible says there are laws to keep and precepts to remember and commandments to obey. So if we're going to really do something for God, we not only have to make the decision, the resolution, the determination, and the choice, but we need to order our lives according to His word. What a lot of objects face us when we want to go and pray. The devil will bring to our minds things that we should do, things that we need to do, and things that ought to be done. And how many times has prayer been neglected and other things turned to? But the first thing that we must do if we're going to order our lives is to plan that there is a special time when we pray and a special time when we read the Word of the Living God. And those times will be precious times. Those times will be pleasant times. Those times will become pleasure to our souls. Happy is the man that walks in the steps of Christ. And so we're called to order, to make our plans and keep them, to not allow the devil to steal away from us special times, but to take the time and invest it in the service of Christ. So we're going to do something for the Lord. We have to make the decision. We've got to arrange the order. But we've got to take the initiative to get going. I have met people, in fact, I meet them regularly in God's work, and they tell me something they're going to do. And that's the only time you hear about it. It suddenly disappears. And at the end of the day, no initiative is taken. If you're going to have a special time each day with your God, you've got to take the initiative. You've got to get going with the vow, the holy vow that you have made, that you're going to seek the Lord upon your knees in prayer, and you're going to read His book with an attitude of obedience and willingness to do what He says and to go where He sends us. God is looking for Christians who have taken the initiative to get going, to keep moving, not to stop, though the devil piles every obstacle in our way. But whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with your might, and God can clear the way for His people to do His will. The happy Christian is the Christian that's doing the will of God. The miserable Christian is the Christian that's doing his own will. Pleasure of self will destroy our pleasure with the Lord. And then there's this letter N. No. And every Christian has to say every day a very big no. No to the world. No to the flesh. No to the devil. There are matters in your life you must not give in to. You will be sorely tempted, but you must obey the word. Whatsoever my hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And we must be mighty in our rejection of the temptations of the world. Where four young men, their city of Jerusalem was attacked and taken by the forces of Babylon. They were dragged away to Babylon, that unholy, ungodly city that eventually called the judgment of God upon it and its people. And the people there said, "You've got to live like us. You've got to talk like us. You've got to do what we're doing." But these four young men said, "No, we are not going to live like you. We're not even going to eat like you. We're not going to do what you want us to do. We are going to do what our God wants us to do." Wasn't it a good thing that there were four young men who kept to that? And in days of darkness, when all the Jews would have been wiped out because of the testimony of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the light of God's word was kept lit in the darkest Babylon. And God gave them a great deliverance, which eventually led to them going back to Jerusalem and await the birth of the blessed Son of God there. Oh, there has got to be an absolute negation to the world and to the things of the world, and an absolute swearing our obedience and repeating the oath continually when we're in prayer that we're going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to say what God wants us to say. We're going to be what God wants us to be. The last letter of this word doing is, of course, G. And that brings us to God. Do you know there are many Christians, and God is an absentee from their heart? How do I know? Because God only comes to the heart that seeks for Him. God doesn't push His way in. God comes when we are crying for Him to come. And if the Christian church today turned on their heels, fell upon their knees, and refused to heed the devil and the pleasures of this present evil world, and started to lay hold upon God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind, God will come. And when He comes, there'll be a revolution. There'll be a change. The old things will pass away, and all things shall become new. I trust that tonight these few words will lay hold upon you, and this word doing will eat into the very innards of our soul, and we will say, "Yes, I've got to do it for the sake of Christ and His Father and the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee." May God help us to give ourselves entirely to the Lord. Could I say our first little volume on the book of Psalms has just been published? You all know that the book of Psalms is actually five books in one. It is the same as the first five books of the Bible. There's a book of Genesis in the Psalm book. There's a book of Exodus in the Psalm book. There's a book of Leviticus in the Psalm book. There's a book of Numbers in the Psalm book. And there's a book of Deuteronomy. And I love the book of Psalms. I have read the book of Psalms over and over and over. And it's always a new book. A wonderful book, the book of Psalms. There's not an experience that any Christian ever had in all the world that is not expounded and explained in the book of Psalms. What a book. I used to say when I was reading it, I wish someone would write a small work upon the book of Psalms, just lighting the burning and setting a great and wonderful ray of glory everywhere so that we could walk in the light of that book. And then the Lord said, well, why don't you don't do it? So I've been working at it for a very long time, and the first volume has now been printed, and it is available tonight. The first book is the Genesis of the Psalm book, which takes in Psalm 1 to Psalm 41. And it is a great book. There's nothing difficult about it. It's simple. It gives you an outline of every verse in those verses in the book of Psalms. And already I have received great encouragement for people who have started to read it and have been blessed as the result. So you can have a copy tonight, and of course all that is made through the selling of these copies will go to our missionary work, and especially our work among the boys and the girls. I was at a meeting last night in Ballymena, a large meeting, and there was over 50 of these copies taken and paid for, and some people gave us gifts also towards the work. So you can make sure nobody is making anything out of the printing of these books, but the Lord's work will be benefited by your gifts. And this is a time when people give gifts, and this little book is only £3.50. It's beautifully printed, and it has a very good index in it to guide you to the first part of the whole complete Psalter. And I'm well into the second part, and immediately after Christmas it will be published, and God willing, the three other parts will be published as well, as quickly as we can get the work finished. So do pray for it, and pray much that God will bless it. They're available tonight, and if you see our brother at the door, he will be able to help you and perhaps encourage you to get them for your friends over this Christmas season. Do remember the services on the Lord's Day and pray much for God's blessing. I regret I wasn't able to be with you last Lord's Day, but God has graciously given me a touch of healing. I thought I was going to be in for a very bad dose of flu, but thank God there's something better than doctor's pills. There's prayer. Prayer is a great thing, and God answers prayer. And so the Lord gave me a quick remedy, and thank God I'm on my feet again. do remember us on Friday. On Friday night, we have the installation of a new minister to our Stranraer congregation in Scotland. And I will be traveling over to do the preaching at that meeting. So remember us. And then on Sunday morning, we are going to deal with the subject of what's happening in the Roman Catholic Church today. And it's a mighty upheaval of what's happening. I have had talks with Roman Catholic people, and I have never seen people so shocked with the behavior of the church. They're shaken. All that they had their faith in. And of course, when accusations were made about the immoralities that were practiced behind the walls of convents and monasteries, the church put out, "This is Protestant lies." But they're not Protestant lies. If you only knew the cesspool of iniquity that has been flowing in the Church of Rome for years. I have books by scores of priests who taught how they had been dragged down into the darkness of hell. I hope you're all praying for your Roman Catholic fellow countrymen and women, because I believe that the time has come for us to move in. And I am glad that there are a lot of Christians that in the south of Ireland who never opened their mouths, now they've got their mouths open and they're starting to make inroads. May God bless every effort that's made to win them to Christ. And may the Lord keep us strong in prayer and strong in obedience to God, and get the word out to the sinners by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, may it be done. So do remember that, and I'll be speaking on Sunday on both services on that position.